If you please would, take out with me your outlines. They're there in your bulletins. And also turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 63. And we're going to be reading the whole chapter there, verses 1 through 11. And also you might want to mark Revelation 22, verses 1 through 4. We'll be reading that in just a few moments as well at the same time. So back in the day, as we talked about last week, you know, back in the day, some of us, back in the day, has been a little bit further back than what some of us. But, you know, the more I got thinking about that, my dad graduated high school in 1957. I graduated in 1986. That's 29 years difference between him graduating and I finally graduated. I shouldn't have said finally graduated because I graduated normal time. Okay. But from 1986 till today is how long? 38, okay, I was just wondering how, good job, right? 38 years. So it's been longer for me to be out of school than what has been between my dad and I graduating. So when I talk about back in the day, you know, when I talk about the 80s, it seems like it was just yesterday, okay? And here it's been 30-some years, almost 40 years since I've been out of high school. For some of you, it's even been longer, so But back in the day, back in the 80s, my best friend and I would cruise Main Street in Princeton. I don't know if you know where Princeton is for sure, but we had cruised Main Street in Princeton. And whether it was spring, summer, winter, or fall, the windows were down. Okay? I mean, anybody, if you're going to cruise regularly at night, that's the only way you can do it. Okay? Unless you're on a motorcycle and with a radio. Okay? But you got to do that. The heater, you know, during the winter, heater's on full blast, but the windows are down. During the summer, the air conditioner's on full blast, but the windows, no. So I got some people shaking their head there. Okay, maybe I'm just weird. Okay, I get it. But anyway, and one of my favorite songs, our favorite songs that we would listen to, because it was a good one, jumping, you know, blasting it out. That's when they had the equalizers with the amplifiers to it. And the goal was to see who could blow out their speakers first. Okay? And how many speakers we could put into a car. That's before they had the great big boom things that go in the back seat. We would listen to Glory Days by Bruce Springsteen, okay? And we would crank that thing up as loud as we could, get that amplifier up as loud as what we could, and sure enough, sometimes we'd be replacing speakers in the next day or so. That's just the way it was. Now, I bet you never thought that you'd hear a message referencing Bruce Springsteen, okay? No matter what you think of him, whatever, his music, though, was pretty good. Was. Okay, but anyway, no matter what you think of him now or whatever, back in the days, back in the 80s, back in the glory days, we jammed out to him. That's just the way it was. We've all done it. We've all had times of reunions, times of getting together with people, and look back at what we've often called the glory days. And thinking that the glory days are behind us. I mean, let's be honest, we've all done it. We've all looked at, you know, gone to class reunions or whatever. They're already planning my 40th year class reunion. And I've already heard from some people, you know, well, do you remember when we used to do this and just the fun we had in high school? Yeah, I remember it. And that's fine. That's fine to go back and look at it once in a while and just to reminisce. The problem becomes when we do it so much that we just want to be back there and just do it and just stay there. And you know, we know that we can't do that. But how many times have we just wished, well, if I could go back and change things? Actually, I've been asked that and I've said, you know what, I don't know if I would really change a whole lot in high school. Okay, maybe some of the things I did. I'll get that. But then again, I had fun doing some of the things I did. I'll admit it. But when we look back, and no matter what the situation is, whether it be our high school years or even times as a church or a group, and we look back and say, hey, look at how many people we used to have, or look at what we used to do, and just different things, or so-and-so used to come, and so-and-so used to do this. And those are great, but when we get stuck looking at just what we think are the glory days, and then pretty soon it gets to be where we're thinking, the glory days are behind us. The glory days are behind us. Are the glory days behind us? I'm hoping, my prayer has been through this series of looking at heaven, that we would realize that we haven't even begun the glory days yet. Amen? Amen? Amen. All right, thank you. All right. Yeah, we had the times of remembering, things that we remembered, things we enjoyed. I mean, this church has a history, okay? But it's not history. You get what I said there? The church has a history, but it's not history. We're still here. We still have a promise for tomorrow yet coming to us. Okay? No matter how small it may get or how huge we may get, the glory days are not here. No matter what it was like 20 years ago, 30 years ago, and I'm not knocking it. It was a wonderful time. It's the same thing in my little church where I grew up there by Peru, Illinois, in a little town called Seatonville. 125 people, I think, they have in it. Okay? One of the churches that I was at before in Illinois had a town called New Bedford. This one I had the two churches at the same time. 75 people in it. Our average attention, you know, 30s or whatever. But you might talk about some fun times. Okay? We had. But even then, those weren't the what we're talking about or considering the glory days. Looking back at the glory days of the past can be helpful. They can, you know, there's things that we probably looked at and said, man, I really learned a lesson on how to get away with something next time. I'm just joking on that one, but I learned the lessons. Or we look back and we say, you know what? I'm really glad that on such day, I accepted Christ as Savior. Or when somebody on such and such date simply come up to me and said, I'm praying for you. Or we went up to somebody and said, I'm praying for you. Or we led them to the Lord, or somebody who led us to the Lord. Or we witnessed a great revival take place in our area, whatever. Those are huge and wonderful things. But even those things aren't the glory days. And we have to remember that the glory days are not behind us. They're not even right here today, as great as what your preacher is. Okay? But the glory days are yet to come in this series that we've been talking about heaven, when we are with Christ. You know, it's not even what we've said is the present heaven. The glory days are when we enter that new Jerusalem on the new earth. Okay, and that's what we've been talking about. So we started off with the series of looking at some specifics, if you want to say it, put it that way, or just things that are going to be taking place and how God's going to make things happen. But today we're going to look at how those days coming are going to be just that, glory days. So if you would, please stand with me. And I'm going to start with reading Psalm 63, and then we'll go to Revelation chapter 22. Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. In a dry and thirsty land where there is no water, so I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand, upholds me. But those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for the jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him shall glory. But the mouth of those who speak lies will be stopped. And then Revelation 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was a tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. His servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. Father God, we do praise you and thank you again for this day, for this blessing of being able to come before you with our friends and family, to worship you, to sing songs to you, to simply praise you for who you are. We thank you especially for sending your Son, Jesus Christ. His willingness to follow your plan for our redemption, our salvation, by going to the cross and dying for our sins, and then raising him up so we could come to our living Lord, our living Savior. Ask for forgiveness. Put our faith in him and be promised of that forgiveness. To know that we have a promise of glory days waiting for us, of life eternal with and in you. Lord, we pray now that as we look at these words that you have given to us, your message for us today, not Pastor Brian's message, but your message for us, we pray once again that you would open our eyes, our ears, and especially our hearts. We pray this in your loving name. Amen. Face to face with God. Face to face with God. If I were to tell you that tomorrow that you're going to go and get to meet or see God face to face, what would you do? Okay? You might rejoice. Some people might go home and say, okay, if he's coming to the house, I'm going home and get straightened up the house, especially Pastor Brian's room. Okay? She was thinking that, but anyway, okay. Or I might want to do this. I might want, you know, what does it mean, though, to say that I'm going to see God face to face? Does it mean all of a sudden am I making my maker? What do you mean by that, Pastor Brian, when you say, what if God were to let you know that you're going to see God face to face tomorrow? Some of us may actually remember what it says in Exodus 33, about when seeing God's face, that there's actually some consequences to it. In Exodus 33, we're told about how Moses was told that to see God's face, you would die. That you would die. In 34, it says that Moses' face was literally shining when he came off the mountain, and all he got to see was the back of God's glory. His light, if you want to put it that way. In 1 Timothy 6:16, we are told that God lives in unapproachable light, whom no person has seen or can see. And I'm just going to add this, at least in this lifetime. At least right now. In our scripture reading, though, from Revelation, we are told that we will see what? His face. Now, we talk about heaven, we talk about glory, and that, but this is something that, you know, we have to remember. Nobody has seen God's face. So to try to put it in words is hard, even for a pastor, to try to put in what it means, the glory that we will see, because you can't really explain it all that well, but we can do our best as we look into it today. Hebrews 12:14 says, pursue peace with all people and holiness without which no one will see the Lord. In other words, we have to be made holy before we get that promise of seeing God's face. We have to be, in other words, redeemed before we get that promise of seeing Christ or seeing God's face. It is only because of righteousness, though, that we have through Christ that makes us sinless, that will allow us to see God face to face and live. We know that we've accepted Christ for our salvation. At least I hope everybody in here has done that. We're going to be talking big time today about that. In order to be made holy, we have had to come to Christ, put our faith in what he's done for us on the cross, his death, his resurrection, the fact that he lives today, and the promises that he's made for us yet to come. Without that, we're stuck. We don't have any of these promises that we're going to be talking about. So the first thing we have to ask ourselves is this: if I got promised that I have met God face to face, have I been made holy? And I can't make myself holy, okay? I can't do good things. Well, I can do good things, but it doesn't bring me salvation. We do the good things as Christians because of our salvation, correct? Now, yeah, feel free to say amen whenever you feel like it. That's great, okay? Gives me a little energy so we can go another 2 hours. Oh, wait a minute. I got places to go today. No, I'm just kidding. Okay? But we have to remember that this whole thing about seeing God's face, we have to be made holy first. Now, some say, well, we're never going to be holy in this time. I argue with that. We may still be sinful, but we're made holy. We are made perfection when we get up into heaven. But when Christ redeemed us, he made us holy. Now, there's a difference between being holy and, between being holy and perfect. As a Christian, I still screw up. As a person who's accepted Christ, I still sin once every 20 years. Okay, that there was a sin, so okay, I'm sorry. But you see what I'm trying to say? Is that even as Christians, we still mess up, but Christ, because of his holiness, makes us holy when we accept him as our Savior. We have that promise. Okay? And this is the glory of the redemption that we receive in Christ when we believe in that forgiveness. Not only will we get to live in the glory land or in the heaven to come or in the new Jerusalem in the new earth that we've been talking about, but we will see the complete glory of God. You say, well, what is actually the complete glory of God? I don't know. I really don't know. I've never seen it. I don't know anybody that ever has yet actually seen the complete glory of God. If you remember in our series that we've been talking about, those that have died have not actually seen the complete glory of God. Because seeing him face to face is all takes place on the new earth with the new Jerusalem. Think about it. Not only has the blood of Christ bought us full access to heaven, but we will get full access to God's very own throne room that we're talked about in Revelation, or that tells us about in Revelation. His most holy place, we will one day get to experience the fullness of God, and he will fully welcome us into that fullness. You know, it's one thing to get to see somebody, and something else a lot of times when we're welcome. I can go see Richard, and Richard may not necessarily welcome me into his house. He may stand at the door and say, how you doing? Okay? I'm not saying he would, people. I'm just saying he could. Okay? But God, we get to go, not only just go to the door, but we get to go in because he welcomes us. Okay? So we are blessed that one day, and we may not understand it, we may not understand exactly what it means, or what it means to see his full holiness, or what it's going to be like. We don't have to. All we have to remember is that we've been promised that we're going to get there through Christ. Amen. Seeing God's face through God the Son. Seeing God's face through God the Son. Ask yourself this question. In my life right now, what do I desire the most through or from God? You don't have to answer that out loud. Okay? But in my life right now, what do I desire the most through or from God? Many people, in asking themselves that question, might respond with a closer daily walk, to make himself known to family members or friends. I'm sure we all have family members or friends that, not that we're judging, but we just question what their walk or relationship is like. You know, when somebody, I remember one time when I had a friend come up to me and say, you know what, Brian, I like you, I get along with you and everything, but I'm not a Christian, and I don't want nothing to do with it. Now, I'm not judging that person, but that person pretty much has told me, unless they've changed since then, what their decision is. Okay? I can't judge his heart, but I can judge, you know, or I can look at what he has told me. So I have concerns for that friend. Sometimes we think to deliver out of a time of trouble. Okay, Lord, I'm going through this situation right now. I have this trouble, and we all have troubles from time to time. Sometimes they seem like they're time after time after time after time, you know, that there's no break. So sometimes we think, okay, Lord, you guys got to remember that you're going to get me through this. Maybe that's our most concerning thing right now. And all those things are wonderful. You say, troubles are wonderful? Yes, because troubles can bring us closer to Christ when we let it. All those things that we desire for family members to come to Christ or friends to come to Christ are wonderful. But listen to what Psalm 27:4 says. One thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. I want to read that again. And you can mark this down on your notes. What Psalm 27:4. One thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. David had a longing, a deep desire to be where God was, to look and focus on God's beauty, to see God's face, to see his beauty, which is the source of all beauties. I mean, everything we have is because of God, his creation, everything we've been blessed with. David had a longing, and we've talked about this a couple times. God has put it within us, a longing for him. We were created a longing for God. Even if we don't realize, there's a lot of people that don't realize it, the things that they're doing in life is simply because they have this longing for God. They're kind of going the wrong way right now, but so did I at one time. Okay? We're always trying to fill that void because God has put us in that to desire him. In the movie, I forget what the name of the movie, a Christian movie that came out last year, Jesus Revolution, excuse me. Okay, a statement was made in that movie that, especially back in the 70s with the drug scene, the hippies and everything, all right, that they were simply trying to fill something in their life. And they were convinced that the drugs, especially the LSD with all its hallucinations and stuff, was showing them God. They were simply trying to see God, a lot of them. Okay? And got mixed up in the, you know, that whole situation. They had a desire, and they messed up. You know, we sometimes mess up. But David has that longing that we've been talking about. In Matthew 1, we read that Christ is Emmanuel. Anybody remember what Emmanuel means? God with us. John 1:14 says, the word, talking about Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us. God himself, through Christ, became flesh and dwelt with us. John 14:9, he who has seen me, Jesus said, has seen the Father. Jesus Christ is God, a permanent manifestation of God. So it is certain that very, very important way that we will see God in glory in the new heaven, on the new earth, is going to come through God the Son. Because we see it, that's how we see God now. That's how we get access to God now, is through Christ the Son, or God the Son. However, Matthew 5:8 goes along with what we're talking about today. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. They will see God. Holiness, pureness, lets us, that we get through Christ, lets us have the blessing of one day going to be able to see God in his entirety. Who right now has some trouble understanding the whole concept of the Trinity? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Okay, I believe in it, but there's a lot of things that I just don't get it sometimes. And I know what you're thinking, Pastor Brian, you don't get a lot of things. Well, I understand that. Okay, but sometimes we just don't understand a God in three in one. You know, I believe in it because, that's the whole concept is there in the New Testament. But we don't necessarily have to understand everything. We simply are called to believe in it. And we are told that one day, because of the pureness that we are blessed with, are given through Christ, we will see God. We will see him in his complete glory. Now, we all know that God is spirit. John 4:24 tells us that God is spirit. So we must worship him in... Good job, okay. In the Bible, it refers to body parts of God, such as the eyes of the Lord, or God's hands and arms. A lot of times it's simply a figure of speech. About, when we talk about God's hands holding us, or the eyes of the Lord were upon them. Okay? If God is spirit, to say that he necessarily, I'm not talking about Christ, I'm talking about God in the spirit form, doesn't necessarily have eyes. I don't get it either. Okay? But he still watches us. Moses saw the bright essence of God himself, even without seeing God's face. He didn't get to see the whole thing, but he got the glimpse of God's essence. So I just have a question for all of us today. And if you know this, go ahead and answer this. Go ahead and raise your hands. Is brightness really part of God the Father's essence? Or is it a form in which he chooses to reveal himself to physical eyes? Is brightness really a part of the Father's essence, or is it a form in which he chooses to reveal himself to physical eyes? To be completely honest, I said, I don't understand exactly how we will see the actual face of God the Father. But I'm convinced that in some way, he will show us his face. That we will get to see him face to face in the glory days yet to come. Okay? I don't stand up here pretend to understand everything. What I do say is this. I know what the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us we will see his face. And I believe that. The Bible tells us we will see his face through the holiness we get through Christ. I believe that. God doesn't ask us to believe because we understand everything. He simply calls us to believe and have what? Faith. That what he has promised, he will deliver on. Our primary joy, seeing God. Our primary joy, seeing God. To know today that we have been redeemed brings joy. To know that we have been saved should bring us joy. We should be happy. Well, we should be beyond happy. We should be joyful, okay? Who's joyful?
Yeah.
Okay. To know that we have been redeemed brings peace. Now, we may not have perfect peace on earth, but it brings us, and we may not have peace with everybody. You know, we still have arguments. We still have, you know, goofy things or whatever. But we have peace with God knowing that He has redeemed us. That He has forgiven us. He has died on the cross. He has been raised from the dead. And we have the blessing that when we put our faith in Him, we have the blessing, the peace of knowing, hey, He forgets about all that junk. And has redeemed us and made a promise of a life eternal with Him. To know that we have been redeemed brings a new outlook on life, at least it should. It brings a new outlook on life and the life yet to come. However, as wonderful as it is for a person to know that they have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, to know that they've accepted Christ as Savior and the promise of forgiveness, we still have barriers. We know that sin is still taking place in the world, right? Unfortunately, it's still taking place. It's obvious. We've talked about that. We know, we've already talked about that, we will still sin, even as though we've been saved after we've confessed. And each day we have to remember, each time that we realize that we have sinned, we need to do what? Confess and ask for forgiveness. Not for forgiveness of re-salvation, I'm not saying that, but simply forgiveness so we can better our walk in Christ. I truly believe, and I've said this before, that if a person has truly asked Christ for forgiveness, understood everything, and truly understood that once they ask Christ for forgiveness, if they truly mean it, I don't believe that salvation goes away. But I do believe that we can still mess up. And we can, you know, choose to go over here when God wants us over here. So if we got the space, the relationship is kind of goofy. Okay, but we need to go and repent and ask for forgiveness to bring us back into that walking truly with Christ. We know that although that what we have called the present heaven, the heaven will be wonderful, it's not the completed fulfillment of God's plan. But it will be for those who have been redeemed. We will one day have that fulfillment. In those glory days yet to come, those barriers that are present today between redeemed human beings and God will forever be destroyed. There will be no more barriers. Once that day we get to see Him face to face. Or we get to go to the new Jerusalem, however you want to phrase that, because we are told that not only is He going to get rid of Satan and all that junk and everything that you go with it, but we have been redeemed, and one day He's promised us new what? New bodies. Not just new bodies, but new what? Perfect bodies. Meaning that our minds are changed, our hearts are changed, our concept of who God is changed. We will be 100% what He has always wanted us to be. And we will be forever saved and with Him. Not only will we see God, He will be the lens through which we see everything else. John 17:3 says, "This is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent." In that verse, we are given the essence of eternal life. It'll be one thing to see heaven, as glory and great as that's going to be, and that will be wonderful. But we will not just merely see it. In the glory days, we will experience it the way God experiences it. You know, it'll take on a new, different meaning. Have you ever taken a picture of a place or saw a picture of a place and you decide, man, I'd really like to go visit that place someday? Okay? Lori had told me before the first time I got to go to Sanibel with her, she had told me a lot about Sanibel. So I could picture, and she showed me pictures that her and her family had, other trips that they had taken, and just different things, and she told me about it. So I was seeing it through the eyes of Lori, which is a pretty good thing, okay? And she showed me all these pictures, and I thought, hey, you know what? That's not a bad little place. I wouldn't mind going there. Then when she invited me, she said, yeah, sure, I'd like to go. Absolutely. I had to pay my own way, but I got to go. Okay, there's a story behind that. Make sure you ask her sometime. Okay. But once I got there, it wasn't even close to what she... I loved it because I got to experience it firsthand. I got to walk on the beach. I got to hear the waves. I got the sights and the smells and everything. But I've never told her this, but I also got to see it through her, or experience it through her while I was there. Give me a minute, Richard. I not only got to see why she loves it so much, but I got to watch her and understand why. And that's what it's going to be like in heaven, with not a blubbering pastor, but the fact that not only will we get to experience heaven for ourselves, but we're going to experience it the way through God, the way He sees it. We're going to see everything the way He sees us. You know, right now we look at ourselves, we look at other people, we may love them, but we don't see everything necessarily through their eyes. Sometimes we don't want to. But the fact is, we'll experience everything the way God wants us to experience them. Glory days were not yesterday, no matter how good they were. As Billy Joel said, the good old days weren't always good. Today is not the glory days. Tomorrow, even though the sun will come up tomorrow, see what I did there? Okay. Tomorrow is not the glory days. The best days to come, glory days, will be when we see the face of God, experience God Himself, and have fulfillment that only God can create. I want to say that again. The best days to come, glory days, will be when we see God, when we see the face of God, experience God Himself, and have fulfillment that only God can create. Let's pray. Father God, through Jesus Christ our Son, we do come to you today. Lord, we thank you for everything you've done for us. We thank you for the promises you've given to us. Again, Lord, we thank you most of all for that promise that leads to all those promises. That because of what Christ has done on the cross, our sin debt has been paid. Through his resurrection, we have a living Lord, a living Savior, one who desires to reach out and forgive us. And to know that all we have to do is come to you, put our faith in you, and ask for that forgiveness, we are promised of that forgiveness. Lord, we pray that if there is someone here today that doesn't know if they've truly accepted that first promise, if they don't know that they've truly put their faith in what you've done for them on the cross, Lord, we ask you to speak to their heart right now. We ask you to work within them. Open their eyes, their heart, and just open them so much deeper than what they've ever felt before, and to know that they need to come to you and ask for forgiveness. And that they would not leave this place, whether they come up through the next song or at the end of the service to me or to whoever, and say, I need to accept Christ as my Savior because I want the promise that goes beyond the salvation. I want the next promise that goes along with it, and the next promise, and eventually that, to know that one day we will get to see you face to face. To know that one day we will be perfect, not because of anything we've done, but because of your working within us to make us holy. And then to know that one day we will be able to look upon your face, whatever that truly means, to see your holiness, because your holiness will be in us. Again, we thank you. Help us to truly walk with you each day and look forward to the glory days yet to come. Amen.